This piece was brought to you by Whole Foods Market, wholefoodsmarket.com, heritageradionetwork.org.
Business.
Cowichan Bay, a serene, slow village on Vancouver Island. True Grain Bread lies at the center of a line of small stores, separating the road and the bay. The mill and bakery use organic grain from the Okanagan Valley in British Columbia and local, non-certified organic grains from Vancouver Island. Farms within a couple-hour drive from the bakery. True Grain Bread mills grain on-site and bakes each morning. They use natural leavening and slow fermentation. Some of their rustic breads take several days to ferment before baking. The result is breads with rich flavors. The ingredients are few, the satisfaction is high, and the bread is free of what bakers refer to as modern wheat. According to Bruce, people with gluten sensitivities may be able to enjoy and digest without effect. Bruce and Leslie Stewart have owned and run True Grain Bread since 2008. Bruce warmly welcomed us into their roller mill, the piece of equipment that makes the whole operation possible. Two circular stones grind the whole grains as they are gravity-fed down through the hopper, crushed between the stones, and the milled grains are fed out into sorting boxes.
So this is my Osti roller mill. It's made by the Green family, and they hand make these mills over in Europe. And it's got an exterior of pine, and pine is really a good material to use because pine absorbs moisture. And what you don't want in a mill room is moisture, because then your grain will start to ferment within said machine.
So to recap, the whole grains fall from the hopper into the chamber where the stones are turning. You can adjust the space between the stones based on the size and shape of the product you are looking for. The finished product either comes out as whole grain flour straight from the stones or is sorted into different chambers based on the weight. The endosperm, or the lightest part of the flour, falls into the first chamber. The semolina, which is a mix of the endosperm and bran, falls into the second chamber. And the bran, the heaviest of the three, falls into the last chamber.
Most of the time it's on the flour setting, if you will, so that's as close as you can get it without it rubbing. And then sometimes if you're making like an oatmeal, then you just want to crack the grain. Or if you want like to make a cracked grain bread, you just want to crack the grain maybe in half or in thirds, and it gives you like really coarse pieces, and then you can soak those, and then you can just add that to your bread dough, and it gives it that robust multi-grainish feel to it. So you spark it up here?
Yes, please.
Okay, would you like to do it?
Sure.
Okay, this big switch here is the main mill, and then the bottom one is the center, so you can just push that green button right there.
Okay.
And then turn the sifter on.
Is it on?
Yep, it's on. So that's the first step.
So
screeched a little bit. So you can see in the top here the stone is turning.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can't see the stone, but you can see the top. That's mm-hmm. how fast it is. And then if you look in this window here, you can see the sifter. Probably best to see it through here. You can see it spinning.
Neat. So what kind of grain are we grinding?
Right now we're we're milling the Cowichan Red. You just slowly set the speed.
Here.
That you want in the hopper.
So just shaking it out.
Yeah. It just hits on the shaft of the mortar, and then the kernel starts to fall through. So I can adjust that speed. I can go a lot faster.
Wow.
About half of our grains we mill ourselves. And of that half that we mill ourselves, I'd say maybe 10% is from the island. And the reason is where we seek certified organic grain for True Grain. So our grains are all certified organic except for the ones that are on Vancouver Island, because we see it as a necessary step in the evolution is to get people growing grain. It doesn't make sense for them to go through the certification process for a small plot of land. So we try to encourage farmers to try to grow grain and bring back the learning. As I understand it, Vancouver Island in the 40s and 50s was a grain exporting region. So we used to grow more than we consumed. And now, up until us and a few other farmers and millers started doing trying to grow it locally, it was pretty much gone.
According to Bruce, there may be a very real benefit to consuming heritage and ancient varieties of wheat. Modern grains have been bred for agricultural gains in productivity, disease resistance, shorter growing season, and increased yields. They have been bred with little to no attention to flavor or digestibility.
Celiac is the disease that is for people who can't digest the protein in any form. It has impacts on the cell walls. In 1950, the incidence of celiac disease was about 1%. And in 2014, today, the incidence of celiac disease is about 1%. So it's the same. It hasn't changed. No more people have celiac disease, right? And in 99.2% of the cases, people don't have, they're not allergic to gluten. Oh, but I still have skin issues or gut issues or fatigue issues. Those are real, very real symptoms for people. And it's different for some people. Some people can tolerate Red Fife, but not the modern varieties. Some people have to go all the way back to the earliest, some of the earliest varieties like Emmer, and they're able to tolerate that. To this day, I've never met anybody with non-celiac gluten sensitivity that can't tolerate Emmer. Even the most sensitive people, one of my neighbors, if he eats a crumb of bread, he'll have severe gastrointestinal issues, and he can tolerate Emmer just fine. Which begs the question, well, Emmer has gluten, so this whole gluten thing is just a total, in my opinion, is just a total myth. So, but when you say that to people who experience a problem when they eat a modern wheat, they tend to get frustrated with me because they're saying, well, I know, buddy, when I eat, I eat wheat, I don't feel so good, and I know it's because of the wheat because I've isolated it. And I'm not arguing that. I'm sure there's a lot of problems with modern wheat. However, some people can go back to Emmer and then start working their way forward in time until they find something that works for them. And that's what we suggest people come in, go start with Emmer, which is Einkorn, which is the furthest back, even predates mankind's agriculture of it. It crossed with the wild goat grass to create Emmer. And then as you move forward, Einkorn, Emmer, then coarse and wheat, and then spelt. And then way closer in time is Red Fife wheat. So a lot of people can tolerate Red Fife wheat because it predates us from like the 1800s. So we call it a heritage variety instead of an ancient variety. And Canada wasn't really a wheat growing nation until this Red Fife came along, because everything before it just didn't work very well, and this stuff grew awesome. And that's what kind of settled our prairies and made Canada the breadbasket of the world, was this Red Fife wheat. We've learned that when you cross two types of grain, the proteins, up to 5% of the proteins in the offspring of the wheat aren't found in either parent. Okay, so it can't be traced back. So what that means is every time you hybridize a grain to breed characteristics that you seek, such as shortening the growing season or making it a dwarf wheat so it can carry more wheat, more berries, thus increase the productivity, then it changes fundamentally the protein sequence and the protein structure of the wheat variety. 5% every time. So 5%, 5%, 5%, 5%, 5%. We've been doing this for 50, 60, since World War II, really. We've, quote unquote, really learned how to do this. And, on the bright side is it's really allowed us to feed the world in terms of increasing the productivity of wheat and mitigating the risks of disease and these different things. But now the fundamental protein is so different today in today's modern varieties of wheat than it was in the previous versions, the way nature gave it to us. For all of these great reasons to try and hybridize these grains to shorten the life cycle so you don't get totally hosed by a snowstorm every 5 years, or change it to resist disease and all these things, which was the right way to go. However, the unintended consequences we're now starting to realize. And, it's death by a thousand cuts. The first one's like, hey, let's try this pretty basic natural process and get down the spectrum of what we're trying to do now is a lot more science and, in my opinion, a lot more guesswork than knowing exactly what the consequences are to the wheat grain.
With small producers and millers joining the market, it is likely you can find a source of ancient and heirloom grains near you. You can find more about True Grain Bread at truegrain.ca. Or find what's happening right here in New York City by visiting grownyc.org/grains. For more coverage about local grain production in the Northeast, follow the links on the show page. This is Laura Del Campo for Heritage Radio Network, coming to you from Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.